Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's podcast. This is going to be a technical feat as well as a power-packed-filled information session. We're going to do our best. Matt, how do I sound on your end? We sounding okay?
Yeah. I mean, you sound buttery smooth, baby. You sound good.
Wow, buttery smooth. That's what I was shooting for.
Buttery smooth. I don't know. That's what came to mind first. We're here by phone. I'm hungry. This was on my mind.
There we go.
I'm on Zoom too. Ready? Just bring me on, baby. I'm there. If you can. I mean,
okay.
If we're gonna do this.
I'm
waiting for Mark Kohler to accept me.
There we go. Okay. So here's what we're doing. This is Blog Talk Radio, where we are able to take live callers. So that's our first goal, is to do our regular podcast with live callers. And we also have a bunch of email questions. And many of you are already listening on Blog Talk Radio. We're also recording this on a Zoom recording so that we can upload it to YouTube afterwards. If all goes well, you'll be able to catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube after the fact. So if we have to drop one, it'll probably be YouTube. But so you might just get a cool logo while you're listening for a minute. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So you can tell we're really trying to get this out there. If you couldn't tell, we're trying to get it out there.
Yeah. Now, this is, for those that are new here, we record this podcast every week, and sometimes it's pre-recorded, which sounds a little more digitally mastered and sexy, like some of the other podcasts you might listen to. But when we do our live call-in show, it's a little more ghetto because it's live and call-in. So it is Wednesday the 6th or 7th? Wednesday the 8th at noon Mountain. And for those of you that are calling in, We're going to try to take our live callers. And Matt and I are both tax lawyers, authors. We write prolifically on blogs, on our own sites, as well as Entrepreneur and other news outlets. And we're here today to answer your questions on the stimulus package. Matt, there's our intro. Mm-hmm. I hope that's okay.
This is a hot topic. It's one we know a lot of people out there are really struggling financially. A lot of business owners, real estate investors, those of you just in the workforce, side hustle. I mean, everybody's felt the squeeze somewhere right now. And there's been a big stimulus bill that was passed March 27th. It's been about 10 days now. Mark and I, believe it or not, read the whole dang thing and loved it. But here, let me set the stage on this, because I want to say this. The last financial crisis, and we're in a crisis right now, let's be honest. There's a healthcare crisis going on, but there's also a financial crisis going on. The last crisis we had, the Wall Street, the mortgage industry and, the housing crisis, 2008, there's a big bailout for the big banks. And that created a lot of ticked off people. We got the Tea Party movement that came on the right that was all bent about saving the banks. The Occupy Wall Street on the left, they were all bent about it. This stimulus is very different. Congress learned their lesson and did two important things that we're going to go over today on how it can affect you as a business owner, real estate investor, and an individual. They did two really critical things. One, they said, we got to help ordinary Americans, low-income, middle-income Americans, stimulus checks. We've all heard about the stimulus checks, people getting $1,200 a piece, $500 for a kid. And there's income limits on that and everything. The second thing they did is they said, you know what? we kind of screwed small business last time. We bailed out the big banks and big companies. We left small business with nothing. They created a big small business package from these PPP loans to EIDL loans to tax credits on paid sick and family medical leave. There's all these cool things out there to unemployment insurance for self-employed persons and independent contractors that otherwise didn't qualify. All these cool things that are available now to provide some help and relief in addition to access to retirement accounts without penalties. So we're going to hit those things. Lots of questions have came in. If you've seen Mark and I's newsletter, lots of articles you've already written on it. I was just setting the stage there.
Yep, yep. Well, this is good. I like it, Matt, what you said. And with this objective today, we are not doing a weekly tax tip or legal tip that some of you may normally enjoy. We are going to dive right into our questions on the stimulus package. Now, some of you have asked very similar questions, so don't feel jilted if we don't say your name and ask a question very similar to yours. We're going to try to combine requests for the same question in one, and we're going to take our live callers as well. But let's get the ball rolling with one question that is I see over and over again. What do we, the sole proprietors, do? And there's many of you that are called in today that have a single-member LLC. You file as a Schedule C, and you don't have a W-2 or a 941. And so you go to fill out the PPP, your banker's saying, stay away. Or you're seeing that the boxes don't match up for you. So let me give you my opinion, and then Matt, you can roll with yours on this, but I'll just throw this out initially. Well, our understanding is, and everything we're seeing out there right now, is that the sole proprietors are kind of phase two. They should be able to apply, they said, by the end of this week. I don't know. Everything's moving a little slower than expected. We'll talk about money availability here in a moment, too. But let's just say when that time comes, maybe at the end of this week or as soon as it happens, we're going to let you know via email, all of our viewers. I think the reality is they're going to need to see your 2019 Schedule C. I think if you're a sole proprietor, a single-member LLC, and you thought, oh, I've got this 90-day extension. I don't need to file or pay. It's true. You don't need to pay, but I would get in and file as soon as possible. If there's anything you can be doing right now, it's getting your 1040 filed for 2019, because I believe bankers are going to ask for your Schedule C because they have to verify what was your profit last year. Add health care premiums to it, divide it by 12, do the math for the PPP. Matt, do you agree? What do you think these sole proprietors should be doing right now?
Yeah, I think that is going to be the easiest way for them to do it, and that's what we're going to see. But I do not – I think you would have to. I think you could do 2018 possibly. Provide your 2018 and maybe your financial statement, your P&L for 2019 if you haven't filed. But – the best scenario, the best position to be in is to have filed 2019. So, but if you're watching this right now, let's say, or listening to this, and the app's out and you don't have 2019 done, you might be able to get away with throwing 18 in and throwing in a P&L for 2019 that you sign off on. Now, if you've got a big number change from 18 and 19, that could be a big thing too, is we can add in a big change, you know, you definitely want to file 19 because you're going to have a big change. You're going to qualify for more. So we'll see.
Yeah, I like it. Now, here's another problem that we're having is that how can I say this? So I had a text to yesterday from some long-term clients that have been able to track down my cell phone. And they're like, Mark, I got to talk to you. And, you know, they're trying to get through our office. And we'll talk about our availability and our law firm and what we're trying to do to help all of you folks that need a consultation. We are grateful for your efforts to try to get with us. Please don't be mad. But this was a common question as well. And then we're going to jump to our live caller. I had a client yesterday go, Mark, I've been an S Corp, but I 1099 people. Or, this was the scary part, I 1099 myself. I really don't do a W-2 940, 941 process.
I've had one of those consults already. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm like, what have we been saying for years? You get your S-Corp, you do payroll. And I know some of you you throw books to the side, you're out there making money, and this client is very successful, but they historically have not been great at doing the little things like payroll. And now it's coming back to bite them in the butt. And I don't know if I have a good answer because you're supposed to have payroll. You're supposed to have a W-2. And that's what the PPP is calculated on. So when you're an S-Corp without a W-2 or 941, the banker's going to throw up their arms and go, what? What do you want me to do?
Yep.
I don't know if they're going to have an answer.
You're exactly right. That's going to be a problem for those that have S-Corps that were not doing payroll or doing a W-2. I've had similar run-ins with some clients. They work a little lower income, actually, and that's why they weren't doing a W-2, is their net income was maybe 10 grand or something. So they're like, let's not worry about a W-2. But in that case, your PPP would have been very small anyways. So on the other hand, they may be able to do idle, though. And so that's what we've told some clients is, you can go ahead and do the idle. You there, Mark?
No, Matt.
Mark, you? Yes, okay, there you are.
Yep, am I cutting you off? Okay, I have a caller on the line. We're going to bring out the real Lee from Midland, Texas, not the fake Lees from North Carolina. Now, that was Lee's lead-in, so... Lee, a regular caller here on the show. Lee, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Matt, in your April 6th article, how to submit your SBA PP loan, it says that you can do the company 401k contribution as part of your income. So my question was,
as benefits paid.
If I was going to make an $8,000 deposit for 2020. If I made four of that during the 8 weeks during the filing of the approval loan, could that be forgiven under that program?
Probably. It's in payroll costs.
Yeah.
Retirement benefits paid.
Let me just interject real quick. Lee, I thought your question was going to be, I'm trying to calculate the PPP and – I want to add to it my 2019 retirement contributions. I am a single solo employee owner of my S-Corp. I have a solo 401k. I haven't made my contribution for last year, but I'm going to. Could I add that to my equation to calculate my PPP, which is really question one. And then question two is, if I do make some 401k contributions for 2020 during that eight-week period, would that be forgiven? I think there's two questions there. Matt, what do you think?
Yes. So on the second question, which I hit already, that one, yes, I think that would count your payroll costs. It could be forgiven on the back end of the loan. On the front end, though, it's going to be what you've actually paid. So if you haven't done anything yet, it's going to be what's already been calculated. Mm-hmm. And when you submit your payroll stuff, you know, a lot of the banks are using what went in 19. So you're going to have to throw in what you actually did in 19. Now, you may have put in 18 contributions
in 19.
Okay, so you're going to count that. Let's say you do 8,000 during the eight-week period when you get it forgiven, then you're going to count that 8,000 in. It's part of payroll.
Okay.
And the payroll cost definition in the statute.
Because of reduced income, possibly. If the 8,000 mm-hmm. ends up being over what I was supposed to be able to for the matching funds, is there a way to back that out?
Now you're getting old.
Okay,
that's why I was
thinking
four to
everybody
be safe, you know.
Yeah, and everybody listening, I know this sounds a little technical. Not all of our questions are going to be this technical, but this is a really good point.
Yeah, thanks, Lee.
I'm going to disagree with Matt on this point. Let's say you've already filed your S-Corp return for 2019. If you have, you've defined how much your match is for last year and have had to have paid it. So for some of you listening, now it sounds like Lee has not done that, but if some of you have...
I have done that.
I would include... You have? Okay. Well,
yes.
Now Matt is saying, what did you pay in employee benefits... in 2019. If you filed your 1120S and the company has actually done the match, Matt, I'd add it to the PPP calculation, would you not?
Oh, yeah, for anything paid, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying the ones you like haven't paid yet, no.
Yeah, the ones you haven't paid for 2019, you can add to the equation. But for any of you that have already paid, matched, and filed, I think you can add that to the front end when you're trying to figure out your PPP amount. Now, on the back end, Lee, let's say someone has not filed their 2019 return. You throw out $8,000 during the 8-week period. Well, you haven't filed your 2019 return. That $8,000 match could go to 19. That $8,000 match might go to 2020. We don't know yet. But we do know you paid employee benefits. So, Matt, wouldn't you agree that that would reduce your PPP loan the amount that's forgiven, it would be included? What do you think?
Yeah, again, what you paid, yeah, as long as you pay it in that 8-week period. But again, if Lee's going to say, well, I might back it back out because my income might be lower in 2020 now, well, now I think, all right, well, what's your obligations there? You booked it in and showed it to get the debt forgiven, but now you didn't really qualify for it. Is it truly a retirement benefit? What are your obligations there? All the stuff, I don't know. That's an ethical issue and a problem later on. So,
yeah.
I can't solve that one.
Good.
That's impossible.
Yeah, that's why I was only going to go with 4,000 because I figured, I can definitely make enough to cover the 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
All right. Lee, thanks for always calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Lee.
Now I want to back up and say something for everybody listening. Please don't give up on this podcast yet. That was a very technical question, and we want to field some of those. Now, let me say this. This is important for everybody that maybe has not caught a webinar of mine and Matt yet. We have 3 webinars on our newsletter that went out early this morning. They're an hour long, some of them a little longer or a little shorter, but they're approximately an hour each. We also have last week's radio show recorded, and the link is on the newsletter as well. Matt and I have 4 or 5 articles there, and the one that's probably the most comprehensive is my article, The 8 Ways to Take Advantage of the Stimulus Package. And what we're trying to emphasize with people is it's not just hyper-focus on one of them. We get phone calls of, should I claim unemployment? I'm like, whoa, let's look at the big picture. And some people are like, how do I get my PPP? Whoa, let's look at the big picture. I'm excited to say I knocked out 6 out of 8 for one client. And we're doing 2s and 3s for clients all day long in a consultation. So if some of you are like, well, Mark, I can't even get with your team for a week or two. Well, still make the appointment because, yeah, we may want you to get your PPP or EIDL application off, but it doesn't mean we don't have follow-up strategies with unemployment, paid sick leave, FMLA, should I tap my retirement account at some point? How do I get it back? So there's a lot of questions. So I would really encourage you to start with that 8 ways article. And then Matt's articles are deep dives on the application, the PPP, the retirement accounts. The webinars are deep dives on specific topics. And so today, please don't be frustrated if we don't get to your question. We're actually going to ramp up the number of our podcasts to maybe twice a week during this period because we really just want to help as many people as we can, and we're grateful for your patience. Okay, so Matt, that was a general comment. Are you okay? Anything you want to add to that on just kind of getting info and being patient? My gosh, I think I lost Matt here. Okay,
yeah.
Matt, back. I'm sorry you were muted.
I'm here.
Okay, that was my
bad. I'm
okay,
here.
So Matt,
you muted me. You didn't
comment,
want me.
Or,
yeah. I know you wanted before there. You didn't want to yield any of your time to the minority party here.
I seriously didn't. I did not do that on purpose.
Okay, well, let's do a little basic. This is a good question from Jasmine. She emailed in and says, I have an online business. My income has been drastically reduced. I have few sales coming through. I'm a single owner of an S-Corp, and I want to apply for unemployment. Should I turn my store and apply for unemployment? Okay, this is a good question. Single owner of an S-Corp. This will help flesh out a lot of the options here. Okay, so Jasmine, let's say, have you been taking payroll in your business? Consider the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, where you get a loan for 2.5 months of your average payroll, that you can get forgiven if you use it to pay yourself, and that's one consideration. Again, we've got deep dives on that, okay? That's one thing. Second, there's another loan called the EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And that loan has a $10,000 grant that could be forgiven when used for business costs like payroll, rent, and such. And also, you can get more than $10,000 if you need a loan, and you can pay yourself or you can keep your inventory or whatever so you bounce back. The third option, which you raised, unemployment. You might do that. Maybe you have had a very little payroll in your business. Let's say this is an S-Corp you haven't taken much payroll from, and your PPP loan would be pretty nominal. You may want to take unemployment, and that could be a good option. The unemployment benefit right now, you get your state benefit, which ranges around $250 to $600 a week, depending on your pay in your state. There's a federal kicker on top of it of $600. A lot of people are getting $1,000 a week right now on an unemployment benefit, which is not bad. That's over $50,000 a year, whereas traditionally unemployment doesn't have that $600 federal kicker. So that's an option. Again, that's in Mark's article. So a lot of considerations there. It's not just the one thing, but it kind of depends on your situation, your payroll, what's your economic loss, and I actually think unemployment could be a good scenario, again, depending on your payroll situation. So if you do have payroll, though, I would probably start the PPP first rather than unemployment because you can maintain your exact same payroll you've been paying yourself, and that'll be a good way to bridge you through. And that's the point of PPP, just so everybody understands, is the government wants to keep business owners and their employees on payroll rather than have them run down the line to unemployment. All right, what you think about that, Mark?
I was fielding our next live caller, so I'm just going to let your answer ride. Now, I do
stand,
want to say
okay.
This. I don't know if you said this. Yeah, I'll let it stand. But let me – I don't know if you covered this. Jasmine, right off the bat, too, you've got to see if you even qualify for unemployment. Did you say that, Matt?
Oh, good point, yeah.
You've got to get out there, Jasmine, and look at how much have I paid myself? Would I even qualify for the PPP? And then on a sheet of paper, draw a line, and on the other side go, okay, what is the state unemployment requirements? Did I pay myself enough on a W-2 last year during the base period? What would my benefit be? Now, the federal is $600 flat right on top. That's great for 12 weeks, $7,200. But you've got to also look at the fact, I still have to qualify, and there's 10 million people in front of the line in front of me. So maybe trying to go down the PPP EIDL route for a little bit, then go back to unemployment might be the route to go. So, Matt, I was just going to add that if you didn't.
Yep, good point.
Okay, all right, we're going to go over to Bob in Seattle. And Bob made a technical point I want to just say to everybody, Bob, and I appreciate it. He said, Mark, lately your podcasts have been really low volume on iTunes and compared to other podcasts, so look into it. So we will, folks. If you're having some technical difficulties, please always email us and go, guys, your podcast is struggling or this or that technically, and we'll get our team on it. So, Bob, how are you doing at Ground Zero in Seattle?
Doing well, you guys. Thanks for asking. And again, I'm about 30 miles northwest of Seattle, a lot more rural area, so I'm out of the human density factor, so to speak, which is good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and we've actually the state of Washington sent back 400 respirators back to the main stockpile because I think our curve is starting to flatten out a little bit, so that's always good news.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
So,
what you got for us?
Question. My accountant sent me a link to the SBA Disaster Loan Assistance Form, which is the COVID-19 Economic Injury Disaster Loan Application. As I understand it, that's that $10,000 loan. Am I correct in that understanding, first of all? Are you guys familiar with that?
Yes.
Oh, yes, very familiar. But I don't know if I'd call it
okay.
a loan. If you use it, it's going to be fairly generous in their forgiveness of that. They're actually calling it a grant, and they're just saying, based
okay.
on that app, if you qualify, we're sending it to you. And then
okay.
you can apply for additional funds that would be more of a loan, okay?
Okay, so the question I have
yeah,
on
it's
that,
an A and B part.
I have a few LLCs, but the two key LLCs, one is a active income consulting LLC, and I work from home, and I have a mortgage and utility expenses, which I theoretically could fill out this loan or this grant, whatever it's called, to get that cash in to help me. Second, though, I also have another LLC that owns some rentals, and I, of course, have mortgages to pay to my loan servicers and utilities and yada, yada, yada. So two questions. One is, can I apply twice, one for each LLC, or is that too overlapping, I guess? I guess I only have one question.
Okay. Matt, do you want to take that right off the bat quickly?
Let me understand the two LLCs. Does one flow through to the other, or they both flow into your tax return separately?
Separately.
And they both have an EIN?
Yes.
And they both have their own EIN? Okay, good. So two separate businesses. All right, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I do two separate applications. You're going to have to, because you're going to have to document the loss and the economic injury separately on each one, as well as what you're using the funds for. So you're actually going to be forced to do it that way, which is good in terms of the $10,000. In terms of the loan part, it might not matter because it's all 3.75%, but it'll give you the kicker on the $10,000. So you're actually going to be forced, I think, to do two.
Okay, good. That's good to
hear. Now, for those that have other entities, a lot of people, you have like the subsidiaries, you have an S-Corp that owns an LLC or everything, it's going to flow down to the S-Corp, you know, but these are reporting down separately. Treat them separate apps.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, let me repeat this answer for everybody. Let me add to it and say this for everybody as well. This is really important, everybody. Bob really has three applications to complete. Let's get straight here. Everybody, if you have an operational entity, that is going to get its own EIDL, EIDL, and possibly PPP. Then for every other entity you have that has its own tax ID number, its own bank account, and its own rental property pool, that could have its own EIDL request. Now, you can't do a PPP on a rental property LLC, but you can get the EIDL and say, my tenant's not paying the rent. Here's my damages. I need the $10,000 grand. And so, boom, you're off to the races. Over the weekend, we have a client that we do a lot for, higher level. He said, please take care of it for me. I'll pay you. He did. We did 13 applications over the weekend. Now, that's going to be a combination of EIDLs and PPPs, and you have to kind of look at your board and go, how many entities do I have? How many businesses? Are they legit? Do they meet the rules and guidelines? And I want to just make one other caveat point, everybody. This is still work in progress. This is what they say. This is what they're saying you're going to get, but I have still yet to have one client call me and go, I got my 10 grand. I'm still anxious. If any of you have gotten your 10 grand, please send me an email. I would like to talk to you. I'd like to see what it looks like. Also, I have still yet to meet anybody that's gotten their PPP money, and we applied a week ago, and we're driving our banker nuts. So we're trying to get that going. So this is all still in theory, and don't be mad at us later where you guys were full of crap. They didn't do this. We're just doing what they're telling us. So anyway, Bob, you said you had one last follow-up.
Yeah, you said three. So I did. I'll plan to do two, one for each LLC. I can do one personally, or what's the third one that you mentioned on the IDL?
Okay, now, Bob, don't be offended. I'm just going to come at you. You said you have an LLC where you do consulting. Is that not a Schedule C business? Do you make profit?
Correct, yes.
Did your profit go down with this pandemic crap? Sure. Sounds like you're a PPP candidate to me. Okay, that's a PPP right there.
Okay,
so you got
so
a
no
PPP
employee.
Application on your...
Yeah.
No,
but
go ahead.
Still,
you ask. Sorry, there's a little delay.
So I have no payroll. I'm, it's a single member LLC, but I could still make a claim against mortgage and other expenses. Is that true?
No.
Oh, bless your heart, bud. Okay, no, this is good for everybody. You've got to go watch our webinar, and this is just for everybody because we don't want to go too deep on this. We want to get as many questions as we can.
Yeah.
But Bob, your homework is to go read Matt's article on the PPP, how to fill out the app, how do I qualify. He's got two different articles from two different angles, and we have a whole webinar on this. Within an hour and a half, you're going to be up to speed. And you're asking the question a little different than you should. So you watch those, and I think you're going to – but you got to keep in mind, you got a PPP for your consulting business, then you got an EIDL for your consulting business, and an EIDL for your rental. Now, are you going to get all
got
of this
it.
Forgiven and one big bundle, We don't know. There's some moving parts here. We'd love to talk about it. But the best thing to do is a freaking the least apply. Then we'll see what happens. You know, get it in there.
Okay, got it. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
so even self-employed persons that are just sole proprietors, the PPP is still available to you. You don't have to have the payroll and a W-2. So if you're the sole props out there, single-member LLCs flowing down to Schedule C, PPP is available. And this is the question that Melanie asked, and she wrote in with a question about, she says, I'm a real estate agent, sole proprietor, and she's trying to find a bank for her PPP, but she says, how do I calculate what I qualify for on the loan? She says, is it my salary of last year divided by 12 multiplied by 2.5? What about my medical insurance premiums? What about my home office and utilities at home? Okay. So the qualification on this for those self-employed is going to be your net self-employment income. You don't have a salary, Melanie, you know, because you're running, flowing through sole proprietor on Schedule C. So we're going to look at your net self-employment income. You do get to add in your medical or health insurance premiums you've paid. Now, your home office stuff that you're not going to count in terms of what you can spend the money on, but in terms of qualifications, look at the net self-employment income, your health insurance premiums that the business is paying for you, because you're likely taking that as a business expense also, will count in that payroll cost.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Joe, I've got Melanie's question, Jasmine's questions. I've got Joe's here. I've got Christina's here. There's a bunch of questions on the same point, and I want to be very clear. So everybody pay attention. If you have a sole proprietorship, you are an LLC single member or just a sole proprietorship. We got realtors here as a great example. Lots of little questions there.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying, is it my 1099? No. Now, let me give you some good news and bad news. The good news is you can still apply for this PPP. The bad news is you think it's going to be more than it really is. Because let me tell you how the calculation is going to work. This is so important. The PPP is a calculation, just like Matt said, based on your profit in your sole proprietorship.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go, you're going to say, my 1099 was 200 grand. Doesn't matter. Well, I paid myself $5,000 a month. Doesn't matter. You've got to kick out what is your Schedule C. And you're going to hate this, people, because you're going to go have to do your tax return. And you're going to say, to get a bigger PPP, I've got to show more profit. I don't want to show profit because then I owe tax. Well, bring down the profit.
I know, yeah.
So, Matt, do you want to add to this? I can tell you wanted to throw something out. You do it. What do you want to say on that?
No, I think it's true. And so you got to run the numbers. And that's the game. I mean, we want you to have as little profit as possible, right? Going on your Schedule C is going to limit your tax. But that's what they're going to be looking for, that number, because that's really what you made. And that's what they're trying to get at in basing this loan amount. Really, at the end of the day, what did you make? Which they're looking at, the easiest way to do that is what's your profit, taxable income flowing through here on Schedule C. And then they're going to use that over, take 2.5 months of that. Let's say you did your 19, take 2.5 months of that. That's going to be your loan amount. And you do get to add in your health insurance.
Yep.
You do get to add in money if you threw into a solo K or a SEP IRA. Those things will count in helping qualify for the loan amount, 2.5 months worth of it.
Yep. And I'm going to say this one other way because we keep getting this question. Well, Mark, isn't it based on my draw? No. In an S-Corp, it's based on your W-2. And you're going to say, well, Mark, you've taught me over the years to take a lower W-2 so I don't pay out the nose and self-employment tax. That's right. Well, I better take a bigger W-2 so I get a bigger PPP. Well, yes and no, because you take a bigger salary, you're going to pay more FICA. And then you're like, well, I don't want to pay more FICA, so you get into this loop. So what we're telling clients is do what is good, sound tax planning to begin with. Then whatever your PPP is, that's your PPP. But just don't go rush out and pay more income tax by writing off less in a sole proprietorship or take a bigger salary and pay more FICA just to get a bigger PPP. By the time you get back to it, and we don't even know how much you're going to get, it could totally blow up in your face. So this is the problem. I'm going to say it one last way. When you sole proprietors, okay, let's take a breath. Mark Kohler, take a breath. I'm not even drinking a Rockstar. Drinking water today. It's really gross. Okay.
Maybe you need the Rockstar. Maybe that's what balances you out.
Yeah. I'm going to walk over to the fridge and grab one while you're fielding our next question. Okay. Everybody, here's all of you that are I'm going to put this in two buckets. This will be really easy. For all of you out there that are a small business S-Corp owner, all you have to do generally, I mean, this is, it's that simple. Find your 941 for last year. How much did you take in a W-2? You're going to add your health insurance premiums to it and any contributions you've already made to a 401k or a SEP. Take that number, divide it by 12, multiply by 2.5. Now, there's a little nuance or two to it.
That's the general procedure.
Yeah, stay unemployed. So that's just the general procedure. For everybody else that you're like, Mark, I didn't do my S-Corp. Mark, I'm an LLC sole proprietor. I'm a realtor. Mm-hmm. I'm an electrician, but I'm just a sole proprietor. You're going to go to the bank next week when they open up the doors to you because you can't go in yet. And they're going to say, what's your profit for last year? And you're going to say, I don't know. Or I got a 1099. Or I pay myself X. It doesn't matter. The banker's going to say, what was your net profit? And you're going to go, well, here's my profit and loss. Now, if a banker takes a P&L, I'll be shocked. But if they do, give them the P&L. That's your profit and loss income statement. Because it's got to tie out to your Schedule C tax return. And if you haven't filed, I don't see you getting the loan. Now, that's just me, Mark Kohler. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't see a bank. Mm-hmm. Bankers are anal. They're not going to go for some post-it note, and here's what I deposited, and here's my 1099. They don't care. It's going to be your net.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now SBA.
I'll grab a rock star. You comment.
Okay, yeah. Now, SBA did give guidance on the PPP loans for, you know, those with wage income, and you know, it's 31 pages. So there's going to be more guidance coming out for the sole props. So we'll get a clear answer on this, and you better believe we're going to have an article and details, and we'll be coming back and let you know what that's going to be. But that's next week, okay? SBA is overwhelmed with the regular W-2s, those with the 941s, the regular payroll filers. So the sole props, independent contractors, Schedule Cs, we'll get more guidance. We'll, of course, be letting you know. But in the meantime, like Mark said, get your But books in order now. If you're thinking about getting this loan, get your books in order now. Maybe you're slow anyways. Great way to use your time. Don't get sucked into Netflix and the next cool thing, although Ozark's pretty good, I'll say. So, all right. So let's start there. Get your books in order. File 19 now if you can. If not, make sure you have 18 ready and at least a P&L. We'll see what the banks are going to be using to qualify you for the loan. All right.
Okay, Lee. I mean, Matt, I got Lee in Connecticut on the line. So well, let's bring him out and see what he's got. A couple, he says, really good questions for everybody that should be helpful too. Lee, are you there?
I'm here. So I'm going to go rapid fire as I can because I know time's an issue. So I have a tree work and excavation business here in Connecticut.
Okay.
I keep all the equipment on my own property. I have 4 acres and a house. I have no personal mortgage. You know, so I don't rent a business property for my business, so that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do have that's significant expenses, I have $500,000 worth of equipment finance notes that are basically 3 to 7 year terms, and that costs me $11,000 a month in all. And then I have some SBA type loans, lines of credit, and some, but I have credit cards, business credit cards. And that's all around $300,000, and that cost me about $9,000 a month. So right there, that's $20,000 a month that I have to pay. And if there's a slowdown, it puts a lot of pressure on me, you know. So I'm just looking at what can I do. So that's why I'm listening very carefully. You know, yeah, I have employees, but it's kind of just getting started here. This is like my second year. I'm not rolling like a freight train, you know what I mean, where other – businesses that have been consistent for 5 years, yeah, they got big payrolls, you know. So, like, when you're talking about the EIDL, and then I'm reading here in your article, up to $200,000 that you can get without having it based on ability to repay. Your turn.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, Lee, thank you. And I'm gonna just take your question offline here, if that's okay. And Lee, thanks so much for calling in. This is a big one, and if we could spend an hour with Lee, we've got to be careful. But let me throw this out, a couple thoughts. This is Lee, and you're right. this is a great question for everybody to and an answer I think people need to hear. If your business has a big debt load and your business's survival over the last 6 months depends on a pretty good, consistent level of income. Let's even, like Lee said, forget about employees for a minute. Yeah, I get the PPP, I hire my employees, but 8 weeks later, what do I do? If this could be a six-month bounce, bare minimum, for Lee to get back on top with the income level he needs to hold his business together. I'm almost got a ting of emotion giving this answer. I do. I just got chills because I'm really, it really hurts to give this answer. Lee, you've got a big fork in the road to look at. You've got to maybe say, you know what? I'm not gonna get to the income level I need to break even just on fixed costs. At best case scenario, 6 months from now. If you go out and borrow 200 grand from Idle, you got to remember that's a freaking loan that's got to be paid back on top of the cost to buy the equipment in the first place. And if your business wasn't humming before and you don't see yourself making a lot of income in the next 6 months or sooner, I think you've got two options at that point. So let's say you have that hard look in the mirror and go, I don't know if I should go into debt to hold this together. I don't see a future for this business at this point. Then I think you need to say one of two things. Maybe I'll even do a third. The first one is go to the lenders that have these equipment loans and go to them and say, guys, if you don't give me forbearance, if you don't give me some breathing room for 6 months, I'm just going to give you the damn equipment back. And they may say, great, we'll take it back. Or they may say, you know what, we want you to stay. We need you to make those payments. But we understand the pain you're in. We're in pain as well, but we'll give you 6 months to breathe. That's better than go getting an Idle loan for 200 grand. Number two option is you may just need to fire
sell. Let me jump in there. Can I, add a little rider to that? A little rider?
Yeah.
There could be a glimmer of hope, Lee. I don't know what type of loans you got, but if you got an SBA loan for that equipment, there are SBA loan forgiveness that's automatic right now. I don't know. If you did one, this could be a really important, where they're forbearance, where they're basically paying, the SBA is paying your payments for you for 6 months, and it's automatic. Mark and I have an SBA loan on a commercial property. We got a notice from our lender saying, it's already happened. You don't have to do anything. Don't apply. Don't call us. We're paying the SBA part of the loan. So look at that, Lee. If you do have an SBA loan, that could be buying you some time here for 6 months.
Yeah. Now, second point, and I'm just going to go quickly. And this has already happened to some businesses, even in our local area and clients of ours. They've just said, I'm closing up shop. I'm going to try to negotiate with all my creditors. I'm going to try to – I just can't keep the doors open. And going into more debt makes no sense at all. Now, you could try the Idle grant, try the PPP, downsize, try to figure out some sort of survival method. Let the business grow another year from now. This may be – one step back so you can take three steps forward a year from now. But some of you just need to close up shop, pull the plug, you're on life support as it was, and the rebound is not going to happen quick enough for you. The third option, which is even scarier, but it's out there, and you're going to see it in our articles as well, is you may say, I'm going to tap into my retirement account. You can get up to 100 grand is in a distribution. You can borrow up to 100 grand if you have a 401k out there. And that could be some short-term money. Again, if you see a very clear light at the end of the tunnel, because we do not want clients wiping out their retirement to hold a business together that's going to die by the end of the year anyway. So be very, very careful. But that's out there too. Matt, any final words for Lee out there? My heart breaks for him.
Yeah, it's a tough and that's a hard situation. But I think we want to be careful about the debt we take on right now in this. You know, a lot of our business owner clients have already been stopping paying themselves. They've been putting personal expenses on credit cards, and they're starting to go in the wrong direction. And taking on more debt to just try and survive through can be dangerous. So it might be a shut shop down, come back in a few months, 6 months, whatever it may be if you have to. There's some of this money is true stimulus, though. And so grab what you can that is true stimulus that you don't have to pay back, the 10 grand on the idle, the PPP for the amount of wages, see if you can make it through. But if not, that next step of taking the idle loan, even though it's non-recourse up to 200 grand, you don't have to sign a personal guarantee, even though you know they're not running your credit on it, it's still debt that's going to anchor your business. So we want to be careful on that one.
Yeah.
There's a great question from Mike.
Quick email.
Okay,
you do a question. Go ahead. Quick email. Yeah.
Okay, Mike had a great one. He's got a small franchise hotel owner. Hotel industry has been crushed. I got to be feeling the pain there. He says, got an LLC that owns a hotel, owns the building, no employees. Okay. Got an S Corp, love it, that's the management company that runs the hotel and leases the hotel from the LLC. It's got himself, spouse, plus 12 employees in the S Corp. Wants to maximize the stimulus dollars in particular, rather than going into debt, as we were just talking about. Question was, can I
get a
$10,000? You might. I know. I thought it was a good one.
He just gave me a perfect
score. You swing at it.
Yeah, I got a perfect score.
Okay. Mike, you're going to love this. I'll let the master start painting.
You're
going
to let me swing at it first? All right. Now, let's just hope this would be our first place we'd go. Let's just hope that loan on the hotel is an SBA 504-7A or microloan. And a lot of people that buy real estate like this, if it is, the first thing you're going to look for is the 6 months of forbearance. Check. That's number one out of eight. So any of you out there that have an SBA loan in any form or fashion, you want to look at that. Number two, he's going to maybe get some stimulus checks for him and his family. And if he has college-age students and we want to get them on their own 2019 tax return ASAP so his kids can get the stimulus if he's income down. That's number two. Check. Number three, his wife is on payroll. Loving that. So what we want to do with his wife is because obviously they had decreased sales. Easy schmeasy. The first step I would love to do is do an analysis and see what would her unemployment benefits be. We got to know what that is. Did she meet the base period? What would her unemployment be? You may fire your wife tomorrow and let her claim unemployment. Or we put her on sick leave for 2 weeks. If you can qualify for one of the six reasons there, and they're pretty loosey-goosey, I want to get her on sick leave for 2 weeks because you get 100% reimbursed for the first three reasons, two-thirds reimbursed for the other three. That's check number four. Next, family medical leave. After the 2 weeks, do we want to just fire her, go back to unemployment, or do we want to put her on family medical leave for 10 weeks, which you can get up to 10 grand forgiven for that? So, boom, we might put her on family medical leave and then fire her after that. So that's check number five, and we're still back to unemployment maybe at the end of that process. Then that leaves us, number six was get back to employment. Then number six is do we do a retirement distribution or loan? Would that be helpful in the short run until you get your PPP or your – so borrowing from some retirement funds would be number six. Check. Number seven and eight, now after all that, we can talk about the idle, 10 grand for the rental business, 10 grand for the S Corp, maybe a long-term loan as well, do some consolidation with the part B of the idle, and then number eight, the PPP, the cream on top. He's got 12 employees. He's going to have 940s to rely on. That's going to be a slam dunk. So there's a potential there in that equation where we could knock out all eight benefits. And I did six for a client this week, and we added up $229,000 worth of forgiven stimulus. Now, some of you are like, what the freak? I wish I had that structure. Well, everybody's structure is a little different. But, Matt, there's my quick, masterful touch on that. I don't know, for what it's worth.
That was beautiful, award-winning. Mike, I think, this is where it all comes together and all these little strategies. Now, you got to prioritize what you're doing. And Mike's question at the end of this was on the PPP. And again, this is getting the talk, and because right now that money is kind of first come, first serve. And Mike's saying, my bank, U.S. Bank, isn't taking the PPP application yet. Should I consider going to another smaller local bank? Yes. Okay, the PPP money is first come, first served. The SBA did a 31-page rules and regs on it. There was one question in there that had a one-word answer, no detail, no explanation, no examples. It was, is the money under PPP first come, first serve? Answer, yes. Okay, that's kind of scary. So if your bank's not up and running, I would check your local bank, a community bank, maybe a bank you've done an SBA loan with, one of the banks that's maybe giving you some loans for the hotel or anything like that. Definitely chase those down. The smaller community banks and local banks have been better at those from our experience with our clients so far. They're not waiting on some high-tech computer system to run all their apps. They're just doing them the old-fashioned way. Fill out the two-page SBA form. Give us your payroll info, and let's get rolling on PPP. So priorities, I'd get going on that because that money could run out. So, but, Mike, okay. You got plenty of options there, and I know you're in a spot that's tough in that hotel industry.
Yeah, and Mike, by the way, was on the line. He was going to make sure he got a call in if we didn't read his question online. So Mike was like, "You're on the line right now. You guys are awesome." And he's like, "Thank you, Mike, for his compliments." He was like, "You guys, I just needed to hear that." Okay, we've got Al. I think it's Al in Idaho. Was that right? I apologize. My head's spinning here. There's so much to talk about. Was that?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
So that's our Idaho caller. What are the chances? Woo!
All right.
So I'm an S Corp. I am my only employee. I did have some employees in 19. I don't have a loss at this point. I'm still working. I have plenty of work lined up. Is there anything in this I should be looking at, or is it sort of is there stuff in it that forces you to show a loss?
Okay, I love this. This is a great question. And now
everybody
listen, because this is a common situation too. We've got clients with business, and they're kind of holding it together. Luckily, they're in an industry where they haven't gotten hit too hard, and they're just kind of still at their profit level they would have expected anyway. That's good. God bless you. But here, and some of you are saying, Mark and Matt, don't you dare help him. Don't let the stimulus give him money because it's not fair. No, seriously, I've got people with ethical concerns here. They're going, Mark, you and Matt, what are you doing? Well, I won't lie to you. Our profit's down a little bit, but we're still working. We're trying, but here's the big question. And everybody's got to chill out and give Al a shot. And here's why: we don't know what the future holds. By the time Al gets any money, who knows what happens next? This country is on the verge of a lot of bigger issues. If this turns into a full blown recession, it could be ugly. And then all of a sudden, Al's never applied for anything, and now he really needs it. So what I'm telling people are, Al, if you had payroll for last year, go get the freaking PPP. Get that injection of cash. Build your reserves. Don't go buy a new boat. Don't go spend the money on a freaking Tesla truck. You just chill out, put that money in the bank, and hope you can keep working and keep your employees working.
And let me say,
apply for the
on
PPP.
On PPP, one thing that you certify, and this is important, because a lot of people, read the form, sign off on this truthfully. It says you've already experienced loss or damage, or economic uncertainty necessitates you obtaining the loan. Well, I don't know what business in America can't say economic uncertainty makes this loan necessary right now. And so I think most people, even if you haven't felt it yet, you know what your plans are and your goals for 2020 are really adjusted now in your business from a financial standpoint. So I think almost everybody can check that and feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first thing, Al, I'll drop you off the line here. I appreciate you because we're trying to brush through as many calls as we can or questions. But, Al, thank you for your call. And I would say this. You should maybe make an application for EIDL, see if you can get the grant, apply for PPP. Number three, I don't know if your spouse has been on payroll. If she has, or a family member, maybe we look at some paid leave. I'm not doing this to go soak the system. I'm doing this to build a reserve for your business because we still don't know what's around the corner. So read the article on 8 steps, see which 8 might apply to you, and let's see where we go. Okay, quick question from Rachel Black, an enrolled agent, another professional out there. She said, this is a good question, kind of off of the stimulus question. She says, I've been hearing conflicting information regarding the 2020 second quarter federal estimated tax payments. Typically due June 15th. Has this estimate been extended to July 15th as well? I know California has extended theirs, but I can't find anything on the irs.gov in regard to the federal payment. I agree, Rachel. I have not seen anything on the second quarter estimated payment being delayed. The first quarter estimated payment has been delayed to July 15th. I think we're going to see some additional guidance on this. Congress is going back to meet, and they're just trying to throw everything else they can into the kitchen here to help. But, Rachel, I agree. I haven't seen anything. I would plan on making that payment or telling your clients to do so. Matt, you have a question via email you want to hit.
Yeah, this is from Jahari in Houston. Asked about, they have a number of different companies here. They've got an LLC that's a small barbershop. They don't have any employees there. They rent out the chairs to different barbers. They've got a restaurant that they do have three employees, or I guess two are W-2, one 1099. And the restaurant's basically a food truck right now. And they also have a W-2 job in the one of the spouses has a W-2 that they're still getting paid. So they're basically asking, what are the options here? Well, and let's dissect this. The barbershop where I think Jahari's working, you could I think that seems to be where your income's coming from. So presumably that's flowing down onto Schedule C on your personal return, and you're claiming some income. If you're not working anymore, you could do unemployment. Because independent contractors, self-employed persons now are qualifying for unemployment. Again, as we talked earlier, you want to see what's your wage and income history for that, what you're qualified for. But you get the $600 on top of it, federal. You could also look at the idle for this LLC barbershop, okay? You get the $10,000, maybe get a loan for more if you need it. You get the restaurant company. You could do the idle there. You can also do PPP because you do have W-2s there. You have some employees there that are on payroll, so you could do PPP there as well. Now, we can also look at some of the paid sick. I don't know who in the W-2s here was on that, if it's family members or those, that you may want to use the paid sick leave for, where you do get a credit back. So a lot of different options there. Any others you'd throw out, Mark?
Nope. I think we've been down that rabbit hole already, everybody. I love it. Matt, good comments. Okay, another question, and this is a good one, Matt. You're going to love it. This is from Amber. She says, I received an email from the SBA on our EIDL application. Amber, you're the first one.
Ooh.
I'm so excited. Some of you are like, Mark, I have too. What are you, crazy? Guys, I haven't. She says, she cut and pasted a piece of this into her email. She said, do you have any information on when or if we will be able to apply for more than $15,000? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I look at the email that came from the SBA. It says, this is good for everybody listening. We're going to finish on this note, and I got a couple other one other quick point. Our nation's small business and private nonprofit organizations are facing unprecedented economic disruption, blah, blah, blah. The SBA is experiencing a large volume of applications on the EIDL. Due to the current appropriations for this program, the SBA will make initial loan disbursements for 2 months of working capital up to a maximum of $15,000. This is in addition to the advance of $10,000. By doing this, the SBA will ensure it is supporting the greatest number of applicants during this time. So what I believe, I'm going to respond to Amber here and say, I want to see the rest of your email, but I would presume, Amber, you're going to have to fill out an application for the additional 15. I would think the 10,000 is going to end up in your bank account real soon. Please let me know when it does. And but it looks like the SBA is going to throw out an additional 15 right away. Yeah. Okay, now we got 90 seconds left. I want to say this to everybody. We are trying. We've got 5 tax attorneys. Matt and I are trying to open up our calendar as well. Call. Get on a waiting list if needs be. Keep trying. This is not going to go away in a week. It's not going to go away in a month. We're going to do our best as a law firm to help our clients around the country. We've tried to discount our fees to help them, as many people as we can. Make sure you're getting our newsletter and you're opening it. We're going to be continuing to hold additional webinars, podcasts. I know that we didn't get to some of your emails today. We're going to try to reply to those as best we can. And we just want to tell you we love you. Matt, 15 seconds, anything you want to say?
Yeah, keep following us at refreshyourwealth.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. We'll get more information out to you. Hang in there. It's tough. We're in it with you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned, too.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.